as we are coming to the end of a hotly contested election process, I want to remind all of us that our deepest identity is not found in political partisanship. We are beloved children of God. We are disciples of Christ and members of His church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we heard two Sundays ago, the Lord Jesus calls us to live according to the great commandment in every circumstance. We are to love God wholeheartedly, loving ourselves and others appropriately, even with those with whom we disagree. It is my prayer that Catholics will contribute to the healing of wounds in a deeply divided nation. And now for the homily, the wisdom of remaining vigilant, the wisdom of remaining vigilant. I'm sure that after these many months of the pandemic, some of you are tempted to be fatigued with it all. I doubt, however, it is the same fatigue that healthcare professionals are dealing with in hospitals and nursing homes and the like. And so whenever you feel fatigued, think about those who are really fatigued in hospitals and nursing homes and other medical centers. But we can get tired of it all, and the different procedures we have to take. But as you have heard me say, we cannot get tired. The virus is not tired of infecting and killing people. As doctors say, the virus is always looking for a host and will take advantage when we do not follow the proven methods to slow the virus. And so as a result, we've approached over 100,000 infections a day now. And the issue is not due to testing, it's related to the increased hospitalizations, including in Maryland. And now we're approaching a total of almost 10 million infections in the United States. On Thursday, Governor Hogan held a press conference with health officials and others, pleading with Marylanders to cooperate with the proven efforts to slow the spread of the virus. For there is a resurgence that is even impacting Maryland, not as much as other states, particularly in the Midwest, but it will happen if we don't cooperate. Of course, due to Maryland law, local jurisdictions can institute restrictions, and Baltimore City has done so because of an increased positivity rate. It is my hope that we do not have a shutdown Christmas as we had a shutdown Easter. And as public health officials have pleaded, we're going to have a different Thanksgiving this year. Now, my family will not be meeting. They'll be delivering the food to my rectory. Maybe my mother will be there, about 6 feet distant. My brother and nieces will be at the other house and will say hello via FaceTime. And that's only if I determine if it's safe for my mother to do that. Unless God says otherwise, I'd like to see her for the next couple of years. But I plead with you and I plead with those worshiping by way of Facebook Live to remain vigilant. We cannot get tired of this. We want the pandemic to end? Fine. Cooperate with the proven methods to slow its spread as we await for an effective vaccine. And even then, we will probably have to wear masks for a while until we figure out if the vaccine has been effective. But let me say this: to attempt so-called herd immunity through mass infections is immoral. The only way we try to promote immunity in the community will be through vaccines and following the proven methods to slow the spread. To be fatigued and to give in to the fatigue produces devastating consequences. In the gospel reading today, Jesus tells us that to get fatigued in living as a Christian will produce devastating consequences. We want the pandemic to be over. Wanted it to be over a second ago. Hopefully it will be over sometime in 2021. But obviously, the Christian commitment is a lifelong commitment. We're married to the Lord as members of the church. And as I have spoken before, as we continue to read through the Gospel of Matthew, marriage is used by the Bible as an image of the relationship God has with his people. A feast is also used as an image in the Bible to talk about the eternal celebration with God. Grateful for the defeat of death and sin. And in the parable, we have both of those images today. As Jesus teaches not to succumb to fatigue in living the Christian life. Who gets tired of hearing God say that God loves us? Who gets tired of wanting to love God in return? Who gets tired of wanting to engage in loving relationships with one another? But some people get tired of living according to the commands of the Lord. But those commands were given to us as an expression of his love, and our cooperation with him to live according to those commandments are expressions of our love for God, true love for ourselves, and true love for others. But if we fail in living according to the commands, we accept also God's loving teaching that we can be forgiven of our sins and we can begin anew to live according to the Lord's commands. We can never get tired, even when we need the Lord's mercy. Some people will think, well, I just keep on confessing the same things in the sacrament of reconciliation. The Lord is not tired of forgiving us. It should not be used as a license to sin, but he's not tired of forgiving us. He gives us another chance, and he does not want us to get tired and say, I just won't be able to do it. We will be able to do it. He died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead. The very life of God has been poured into our lives and remains there. We can do it. So the Lord tells a parable. And the parables are illustrations of events that happened in those days. Sometimes it would have a twist to it to make sure that the hearer stops and takes notice about what the Lord is teaching. It is said that in those days there were probably maybe a two or threefold process to marriage. I'm going to talk about a twofold process. The first stage was the engagement. The groom-to-be approached the father of the bride-to-be and made the offer. And if the family approved, primarily the father approved, then the engagement took place. And if they were considered to be legally married at that time, even though they were not living together. You heard about that in terms of Joseph and Mary, there, in terms of that first stage of the marriage. And then, months later, what would happen in the second stage, the groom would come to the home of the bride to take the bride back into his home. And there was a festive procession that, of course, the families were part of it, and the bridesmaids and others. The bridesmaids would light the way for this nighttime procession. And some scholars say that the lamp that the Lord is talking about was probably a wooden stick with the cloth at the top wrapped around it. Of course, the cloth filled with oil. And then the bridesmaids would provide the light for the festive procession. And then there was a wedding feast. It usually was not for a day, but for a whole week. Imagine that, if that happened in 2020. I guess it wouldn't happen right now due to the pandemic. But if things were normal, that you would have to pay for a feast for a whole week. So that is what probably happened in those days. So Jesus sets the scene that the bridegroom is going to come that day. And so the bridesmaids were to get ready. Five of the bridesmaids got ready by making sure they had enough oil to take them the length of the festive procession. But five were foolish. They did not have enough oil. They did not anticipate what they needed to do. So, when the bridegroom came, only those who were wise were able to complete the journey. And they were not being stingy when the foolish one said, share some of your oil, because the wise ones were saying, why should I share my oil? All of us will be in the dark of them at one point during the procession. And so, the bridegroom came. The wise ones were ready to go. The foolish ones were not. They were off to the merchant. And while they were off to the merchant, the festive procession began. They reached the groom's house. Everyone entered the house, and the feast began. The groom locked the door. You know, Jesus didn't say this in the parable, but you know, you're having a feast and all. Some people probably want to try to ease on in there saying, oh yes, I've come to celebrate the groom and the bride. They weren't even invited. But nevertheless, the door was locked. The foolish ones finally got their oil. They were late. And they came to the door and the door was locked. They asked to enter and the groom said, too late. I don't know you. Meaning that I disassociate myself from you. He knew them. Now, a parable makes a point about how God relates to us, or how we relate to God, or how we relate to one another, all three of those concepts. The church is the bride of Christ. The scripture tells us, collectively, we are married to the Lord. The Lord calls us to live in a loving commitment to Him because He is lovingly committed to us. The Lord's made a vow to us. And when we have accepted what God has done for us through baptism, we make a vow to God. We're in a covenant with God. God says, I give myself wholly and unconditionally to you. And we say to God, with your help, I want to give myself wholly and unconditionally to you, God. And insofar that I have not, I need to convert. We hear at the invitation to Holy Communion, blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. And that is based on the verse in Revelation chapter 19, which says the same thing. So Holy Mass is a foretaste of our participation in the eternal banquet with the Lord. And how we conduct ourselves in between our coming to this altar, or in between our worshiping by way of live stream during this pandemic, basically tells us, how are we doing as we join the Lord in this eternal procession? In the procession from this life to eternal life. And insofar as there are some things that have happened between our visits to the altar that do not glorify God, we need to forsake them out of love for God, true love for ourselves, and true love for others. Jesus lovingly warns us that we must be wise. The psalm says, the fool in his heart says there is no God, or they live as if there is no God. The fool gives lip service to God. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. And when that day comes, when we're called to see the Lord face to face, Jesus said, there will be some people who will say, Lord, didn't I do this in your name, and I did this in your name, and I did this in your name? But because they did it superficially, they claimed Jesus as Lord superficially, but the totality of their lives bore witness to the contrary, Jesus will say, this is what Matthew 7 says, look it up. He says, I never knew you. I disassociate myself from you. The loving Lord Jesus warns us that because he loves us, the invitation to receive his love and to trust in his commands is a free decision that is made. He gives us all the reasons why we should embrace his commands and to make that decision and not to give up when we have forsaken his commands and take it up again. But he warns us in love, because he wants to share life with us forever eternally, don't get tired, don't get fatigued, don't give up, for there are devastating consequences. Now some people will say, now Father Harris is preaching fire and brimstone. I'm just reading what the gospel says. The Lord in his love says, I want you to be with me forever. And I want you to avoid the obstacles that will prevent that from happening. I don't want you to be foolish. For the world will claim that you are wise when you get fatigued in living the Christian life. But the Lord reminds us it's better to be accounted a fool in the sight of the world than to be accounted a fool in the sight of God. Wise people remain vigilant and striving to do the Lord's will. And again, I continue to emphasize, that includes asking the Lord for mercy when we have not lived according to his will. He makes it possible through his cross and resurrection. There is a spiritual that says, I have made my vow to the Lord, and I will never turn back. I will go, I shall go, to see what the end will be. And the end that the Lord promises when we breathe our last here on earth is a glorious beginning that never has an end. So that's why he says it's wise to remain vigilant. We pray that we let the love that the Lord has for us, the love that we have for our God, the love that we have for others, to help us to remain wise, to remain vigilant, so that we may receive the victory that the Lord intends for all of us to enjoy, the great feast of eternal life.